Well, it is officially 2022. Who else can hardly believe? Yay, we're done with 2021. Who else can hardly believe that we live in the year 2022? I don't know about you, but I had this when I was growing up where I could remember thinking that my high school graduation year just felt immeasurably far away into the future. I remember that as a kid. And so now I look at 2022 and it's just mind-boggling. And as we all know, at the turning over of a new year, it's the perfect opportunity for a lot of people to try to reset their lives with a New Year's resolution. You know, starting this year, I'm gonna lose 30 pounds, or I'm gonna write a novel, or I'm gonna learn how to play the didgeridoo, or whatever it may be. But the trouble is, we tend to have a very difficult time getting those New Year's resolutions to actually stick. I've seen a lot of different statistics thrown around, but a lot of them are coming up with a similar conclusion that out of all the New Year's resolutions that get made, only around 7 to 9% actually stick. That is less than 1 in 10. So if everyone here this morning made a New Year's resolution, we might want to be prepared to be disappointed because only, what, 8 of us are going to actually stick to it. And a big part of the problem is that we often fail to set realistic and specific goals. Instead, we dream a lofty dream that sounds nice without actually planning and coming up with procedure to get that dream accomplished. Let's take one of the previous examples I had just mentioned. Let's say that this year I'm going to write a novel. Well, that's great, but it's not like you can just snap your fingers and a novel appears. How is it going to come together? A lofty outcome doesn't just happen. But what if instead the goal was to commit to writing for the novel, say, 20 minutes for 5 out of 7 days of the week? Or what if the goal was to break up the months into the steps of what it takes to build a story? Like in January, I'm going to brainstorm and imagine. In February, I'm going to develop a storyboard, and so on and so forth. It's the specific goals that instill the habits and the values that are going to build up to a desired outcome. So I think at the start of the new year, it is also a great opportunity for we the church to be reset and to refocus on the habits and values that we want to instill for our desired outcomes. So we are blessed to be reading from Ephesians 1 today. We're reminded in these words that we have been utterly blessed and chosen through Christ, that we have been destined for adoption as God's own beloved children, that we have been redeemed by Christ's work, sealed in the Holy Spirit, and we've been given a glimpse into God's wisdom and insight. We've seen a little bit of God's cosmic plan of salvation and restoration, all coming together in the fullness of time. Now, I don't know about you, but when I hear that list of all these things, it gets a little overwhelming. It's very grand scale, and it's very theologically dense. And I start to get lost. So at that point, we've got to remember that this list that Ephesians 1 is emphasizing here is again and again what God is doing and what God has already done. God has appointed the church. God has an eye toward the outcomes in the end. Thy will be done, right? And so when we remember that to help us frame reading this passage, it can help us in two key ways. The first is this, which is that God has appointed us and chosen us, predestined us to our role together as the church. And if that's true, then we do not need to get caught up in self-doubt and self-shame. God has determined for us to come together, a multi-generational family of believers, all on the faith journey together, taking one step at a time. And that doesn't mean we're perfect, and it doesn't mean we're going to always know what to do and when to do it. But we can rest assured knowing that God has called us to the work of the church, and that we can find our ways to obey that call rather than get so caught up in our heads as to whether or not we're worthy or we're doing enough. And the other thing Ephesians is helping us with is this. It's enabling us to narrow in on realistic, measurable goals rather than get lost in the large-scale outcomes. If God's ultimate outcome is to gather up all things in Him, in heaven and on earth, then we don't have to try to hold such a grand, mysterious outcome on our own shoulders. Instead, we are freed in the mystery of God. We are freed by the Holy Spirit in us to focus on how we can find our little faithful ways to be the church here and now. And we can trust that each one of our small faithful acts is one more brick that is cut and laid toward the building of the reign of God. We don't need to hold the whole big picture. We are freed to get specific with what we've been given. It reminds me of an interview I heard a few months ago on the radio with a man who had recently, well, it was a few years ago, he had taken over as the head coach of a high school hockey program that was notoriously bad. I believe that hockey team had not won a single game for, I think, 2 or 3 years. So the coach's work was cut out for him, right? Take a legendarily bad program and turn it entirely around. Go from losing all the time to winning consistently. Transform utter failure into major success. That is a grand scale, lofty goal. And if the coach had only focused on the large scale, he probably would have gotten overwhelmed and burnt out. He probably would have quit after a year. Just like 92% of us who hold New Year's resolutions, right? So instead, the coach decided to begin his tenure by ignoring the large-scale outcomes entirely. He didn't think in terms of wins and losses. He did not even keep track of the standings. Instead, he broke it down into manageable specifics. He focused on the values and the behavior of each team member. And so whether the team lost or won, that didn't matter so much as if they managed to stick to the values and instill the correct behaviors. For example, every player was expected to show hustle, keep their heads up, and support teammates with encouraging words and selfless play. That was it. That was like the golden three. And so after each game, when they'd go to the locker room, the coach made a point not to act differently, whether they'd won or lost. Instead, he invited them to all reflect together honestly on whether or not they achieved those three measurable goals. Did I hustle? Did I keep my head up? And did I support my teammates with encouraging words and selfless play? If they managed to do those things, even if they lost, they called it a good night of positive growth. Now that team, of course, did not become a good team overnight. But over time, they saw consistent and lasting improvement, bit by bit, over time. And as all the teammates bought in to the committed values and behaviors, they started to see the large-scale outcomes taking shape as they started to win games and grow into a successful program. So remembering that story of the hockey coach and that gradual process, I want to bring it back to Ephesians, bring it back to this new year as a church body, because I think we can really glean something from that. There are so many large-scale outcomes that we want to see, right? We painfully want to see these things happen. We want a fully functioning church body with healthy and growing ministries for all age groups. We want to see church members with a strong sense of community and belonging. We want to see the Traverse City area improving in difficult ways through affordable housing, racial justice, the eradication of the homeless issue. We want to see local farms and businesses supported in a symbiotic cycle of supply and demand. We want to see the planet being taken care of in a manner that's enabling life to flourish. And in all these efforts, we just want to share our deepest conviction of the gospel of Christ, who has come to bring restoration for the world. All of these things are wonderful, wonderful large-scale outcomes, and we dare not set them aside for fear of being too lofty. But it can get awfully overwhelming if we get stuck on all those big-picture outcomes. So maybe today, with the assurances we're given in Ephesians, our best route is to trust in our appointed roles within God's greater outcomes, to recommit ourselves to the established values and behaviors for each of us team members. Our vision as the Presbyterian Church of Traverse City is to love as Christ loves, to be a welcoming, caring, dynamic family of faith that makes a difference in our lives, in this community, and in the world. Our mission is to share God's love through meaningful worship and study and caring relationships, service, and outreach. We have a wonderful vision and mission. But again, it's all very big picture, right? And so let's take a moment to break it down and see what are some of the values and behaviors specifically coming up. Clearly, first and foremost, is love as both a value and a behavior. This community wants to commit to love. And so let's recall right now in this moment that to love as Christ loves has very little to do with feeling a specific emotion or being nice, but it's about acting in service on behalf of others' well-being for their sake rather than our own. So are we doing that, church family? Are we finding ways to love others regularly, to serve at our own expense? Are we seeking others' flourishing? And are we entrusting our own flourishing to others so that we're building a web of support? Another value I see standing out is the building of a community, specifically vital in a modern world of isolation and busyness and trauma. We need each other to lean on, to come to pray with, to support. So are you offering that hospitality and that welcome? Are you inviting those left on the outside? Are you showing care to others through checking in with them, asking questions? Are you finding yourself engaged in a couple leadership opportunities, whether it's on a committee or through a team? And are you showing up and fulfilling your commitments to those groups? Are you slowing down long enough to linger with people to actually get to know them and get invested in their lives? Lastly, in our commitments, there's an emphasis on dynamic worship and study. And we live in an age with an incredible amount of numbing noise and distractions to fill the days. Just this morning, I left my phone at home on accident. I was very frustrated at first. But an hour and a half into it, I thought, I might never take my phone on Sunday morning again. Because I didn't look at it. I couldn't look at it. I was centered. It was an incredible difference. Are you carving out time for the essential practices for spiritual growth? Are you committing to times of worship, praise, reflection, and prayer? Are you finding rhythms in your week to pause and contemplate how God is transforming you and how you might find your small ways to transform the world? So just a few little things, the values and the behaviors that we want to commit to as a body. And if you're anything like me, there's maybe one or two that stick out to you on this list. Things that have felt like gaps or challenges in your life as of late. And so what's one simple and measurable way that you would like to commit yourself to these things we've agreed upon? What's one way you can do your part taking on a role you've been blessed with as God's chosen agent of change in the world? How might you live into the fullness of time through acts of love, through building community, or through practicing your devotion? Remember, measurable, specific. Set yourself a goal. You can write it down somewhere and put it somewhere you'll see it often so you can check in with yourself. Am I doing what I'm committing to for the sake of my beautiful Savior and for the sake of this beautifully broken world? Friends, our Lord has redeemed us and brought us into the mystery of His will. As His plans come together in the fullness of time, let us respond with great rejoicing. Let's find our ways to participate, to reset, refocus, and recommit ourselves to the values and the behaviors we profess, and to the essential roles that we are playing in the body of Christ, all to the glory of God. Amen.